So I'm so happy to see you in this place. And I would like to remind us, Yom Kippur, all about Yeshua. It is everything about Him, about Him. So let us open Leviticus chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. Leviticus 23, 27 and 28. If you have digital Bibles with you, please use it too. Sometimes it's easier to set up digital than to do old-fashioned. But I have old-fashioned here. I have digital here. And also, yeah, I'm good for Yom Kippur. So let us read Leviticus 23, 27, 28. The 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Do not work on that day, because it is the Day of Atonement, when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. It is so important to remember. So Day of Atonement is the holiest day of the religious year. In Hebrew, Yom means day, and Kippur comes from a root that means to atone. So Day of Atonement. Once a year on Yom Kippur, a high priest entered into the holy place to seek God's forgiveness for the sins of Israel. This was the holiest day when high priest was able to enter the Holy of Holies only once a year. Today I would like to speak about Yeshua in Yom Kippur. So I want to discover Yeshua in two different parts today. First, in Jewish traditions and history of Yom Kippur. And second, as told in the scriptures. And I believe it is very interesting to find Yeshua there. So the Talmud consists of historical writings from Jewish history, which are not necessarily inspired, but do shed some interest in specific historical facts. So let me share a brief story about one of the traditions on Yom Kippur. And I believe it's very important to remember, to know, at least to know. So we know from the scriptures, two goats were brought to the temple, and one was chosen by the casting of lots to be sacrificed there as a sin offering for all Israel. A red ribbon was tied to the temple gate. It was a tradition. And another around the horns of the other goat, now called the scapegoat. The sins of Israel were confessed by high priest and symbolically placed upon the back of the scapegoat, which according to the scripture was then led away and let loose in the wilderness. We can read it in Leviticus 23. The tradition goes a bit farther, explaining that the scapegoat was dropped off a cliff in the wilderness. So no doubt, a painful way to suffer and die beneath a load of all those sins. And the tradition goes farther. The red ribbon tied to the temple gate miraculously changed its color from red to white. It was a sign from the Lord for forgiveness in accordance with the words of the prophet. Isaiah chapter 1. I believe we all know this place of scripture. Come now, let us reason together, says Adonai. Though your sins be like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they will be red like crimson, they will become like wool. This is one of the reasons why I have white today. The Talmud tradition says that when the ribbon turned white, people were happy. No doubt why. Because the Lord accepted the sins, accepted the sacrifice. But when it did not change color, they grieved. And no doubt why. In the Talmud, we can read this incredible development of this story. And it is not the Bible, it is Talmudic literature, historical literature. And please, listen carefully. 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the red tape is not turned white. Western light ceased to glow. Doors of the sanctuary opened themselves. 40 years before the destruction of the temple. Again, 40 years before the destruction of Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin was exiled from the house of hewn stone and is located at the place where trade was made. Something happened there in Jerusalem, specifically in the temple, that even Sanhedrin supposed to leave that place and move to another place. So what happened? Let us take 70 AD. Do you remember when the temple was destroyed? In the 70 AD. Do you know this story? Yeah, we know, 70. And minus 40, according to Talmud. And what do we have? I'm glad we know math a little bit, at least some of us. Let us read what happened around that years. Let's open Matthew 27. And read the scripture, historical facts. What happened around that time? 40 years before destruction of the temple. Around 40. Actually, it was 33 years. Matthew 27, verse 33. So what happened there? Why? Why gates were opened? Why is Sanhedrin supposed to leave temple and move to another place? What happened there? So let's read. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they offered him the mixed with gall and drink. But after testing, he was unwilling to drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothing among themselves by casting lots. And they sat down and kept guard over him there. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Yeshua, the King of the Jews." Now from the sixth hour, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Yeshua cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you abandoned me?" When some of these standing there heard it, they began saying, "This man is calling for Elijah." Right away, one of them ran and took a sponge. He filled it with sour wine and put it on a stick and was offering it to Yeshua to drink. But the rest were saying, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And Yeshua cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. It was the day of his crucifixion. And verse 51. What happened at that time? And behold, the curtain of the temple was split in two. Do you remember Talmud? From top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and rocks were split apart, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the Kedushim who were sleeping were raised to life. And coming forth out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those with him keeping guard over Yeshua, when they saw the earthquake and what was happening, they became terribly frightened and said, this really was the Son of God, Ben Elohim. So first thing happened, Yeshua was crucified. 40 years before the destruction of the temple. The curtain of the temple was split in two. Gates were opened, according to Talmudic literature. And because of damage done to the temple from the earthquake, Sanhedrin had to leave the temple. Bible, very accurate book, very historical place. Amen. And guess what? According to Talmud, from that day forth, the ribbon of the on the temple gate no longer turned from red to white, because the sacrificial scapegoat could no longer carry away the sins of Israel. Because Yeshua took our sins upon himself. Only the sacrificial blood of Yeshua had the power to atone for sin. Only Yeshua. So, and now the second part. What do the scriptures say about Yeshua in Yom Kippur? Let us open Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews 9, 22. And nearly everything is purified in blood according to the Torah. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no forgiveness. Let's say together. No forgiveness. What a dilemma for Israel. Apart from the shedding of blood at the temple, there is no forgiveness. The ribbon no longer turns white. The animal sacrifice is ineffective. Soon even the temple will be gone. How can atonement ever be made again for sin? But the Lord knew that the sacrificial temple system would end. And so he prepared for us an internally effective sacrifice through the blood of his beloved Son, Yeshua. Today, unfortunately, most Jewish people do not understand this truth and ignore this simple question. Why have the temple sacrifices ceased? This is the question for all of us. The entire Torah is based on a system of temple sacrifice. All Torah. If you read carefully, it is all about sacrifice. And it was not a question for religious Jews who lived in the time of temple that there can be no forgiveness without shedding of blood. All the scriptures, starting with the Passover lamb and ending on Yom Kippur sacrifices, explain that. In ancient Israel, when the high priest laid his hands on the scapegoat and confessed his sins and sins of all Israel, there was no question as to why he was doing that. There was no question. They understood, according to the scriptures. Everyone knew because the Torah says that, and it is the basis of our faith. Let me read Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, and this is Torah. And if you are believing Jew, you need to believe Torah. It is the foundation of your faith. Leviticus 17, 11. For the life. Replacement systems have been developed to replace the blood atonement. the commandments, the temple. Today, many Jewish people rely on doing good works and following other man-made traditions as a way of redemption. And you know probably one of the most famous one. One of the fine examples of this is the kaparot on Yom Kippur. When the people swing the killed chicken as if they can take away the people's sins. I don't think it's possible to atone. Actually, it is. I think it's abomination in some cases. We must firmly understand that commandments invented by man and the traditions of our people do not abolish the Torah commandment regarding a blood sacrifice for the sins of man. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So I have a question. Would God have made such a requirement and then, for 2,000 years, left us with no way to make atonement? No hope of redemption, no possibility of forgiveness for 2,000 years without the temple. The Lord is love, and He loves His people Israel, and He loves all the families on the earth. He loves us. He provided the new, perfect way once and forever. The sacrificial temple system ceased because there is now a better sacrifice. In fact, a perfect sacrifice for each of us. The only way to God is through Yeshua, Ben Elohim, Son of God. The Lord who redeemed us once and for all eternity. Let us open Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. This is the answer for us Messianic believers. He entered into the holiest once for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Yom Kippur. So if you have not yet placed your faith in Yeshua, our eternal high priest, if you are wandering through life without His love, without His forgiveness, if you are still trying to redeem yourself through kaparot or anything else, you also face a huge dilemma. But there is an answer. Redemption is available through the Messiah Redeemer, Yeshua, who is our Yom Kippur. The time is now to accept His sacrifice. Turn to Him and receive Him as your personal Lord and your Savior. Accept the Lord on His terms. Receive His forgiveness and His shalom, according to the Torah and all the writings. And I would like to repeat the exact words I gave to you on Rosh Hashanah. And for all who believe in Yeshua, during these days, these judgment days, when people around you may be living in fear and uncertainty, remember these things. If you have made Shuvah, have turned around, have accepted Yeshua's redemption, then you have eternal life, forgiveness, mercy, and love of the Lord. So, He loves you. And with it, Mazel Tov. Yeshua died for you, and He is your Redeemer. I would like to invite worship team, and let us proceed with Avinu Malkeinu. Let us stand together. It's an amazing how history is showing us Yeshua the Messiah, even in Talmudic literature, even there. You can't hide the truth. It is visible for people who are really seeking for truth, looking for truth. Avinu Malkeinu, the prayer to God who is Avinu Malkein, our parent, our father, our king. God is acknowledged as both ruler who sets the standards and parent who loves the child. And let us pray in English. Our Father, our King, be merciful and answer us. Though we have no worthy deeds, treat us charitably with loving kindness, for you have saved us. Let us proceed with Zechariah Lechaim. I would like to read Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And it's a great picture here. It is a great picture. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what was written in the books, according to their deeds. But blessed we are, because our name in the book of life. We rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Let us pray. Remember us unto life, O King who delights in life, and inscribe us into the book of life for your sake, O God of life.
Zachreinu l'chaim, melech hafeis b'chaim, v'chatveinu b'sefer hachaim. L'mad ha'elohim, l'mad ha'elohim, l'mad ha'elohim.
Your name, say.
East Coast, that's West Coast, yeah. Thank you so much. So let us close with Aaronic benediction. I would like to invite Robert and Ina to join me. And let us stand together in this prayer. Let us receive from the Lord. And remember, He loves us so much. He is our Yom Kippur. Yevarechecha Adonai ve'ishmerecha. Yaer Adonai panevelecha vichunecha. Issa Adonai panevelecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. And Tzom Kal, easy fast. Shalom Mishpacha, see you tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. for Yom Kippur service. Shalom.